We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. What bump was that? Was that a new one? What was that?
That was Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And the Hammer Falls.
The Red Rocker, the Hammer Falls. All right. I like it. Okay. Good enough. It definitely kind of gave the vibe like something's coming. Hey, do we have a caller a minute ago during the break? What was that?
Oh, yeah, we had a caller. It was Brian, and he really just wanted us to know there's only two ways to argue with your wife, and neither one of them work.
I understand this. This is not good. This is not good at all. I'm encouraging all kinds of wrongful behavior. But I did hear also, by the way, this morning, the same pastor that I referenced in my monologue, he also made the point. He said, you know, the men wear the pants in the family, and behind every good man, there's a woman who's telling the man what pants to wear.
I've heard one more. Do you mind if I say it? I mean, might as well, right?
Here
we go. You know, the man is the head of the household, right?
Right.
But the woman's the neck that turns the head.
Why are we laughing? This is not funny at all.
Not funny.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. Well, listen. Hey, folks, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. I'm going to be getting to that triple dipper here in just a minute. And if you want to call in, by the way, I'd love to take those calls throughout the day. 833-687-4448. That's the new phone number here at the Right Side Studio. How best to remember that number? 833-68-RIGHT. That's how we do it. 833-68-RIGHT. And yeah, I'm going to say it a few more times, and then one day at Boomer's suggestion, we're going to make this a trivia question of how to win a t-shirt or something, but 833-68-RIGHT is the phone number. Where'd the 68 come from? How do we get this number, Phil? What did you do? Well, I was given choices by the phone company, and since I used to drive a 68 Mustang, that was my baby, 68 Mustang. Oh, it was good. Anyway, that's why we have the phone number, 833-68-RIGHT. That's how you call the studio. You call in, we'll talk. All right, so yeah, listen, we've got plenty more to talk about, but a lot of the stuff that we do is on the Right Side website. So if you find yourself like anywhere in the whole wide world, just go to the World Wide Web, click on rightsideradio.org, go there and you'll find all our stuff. So our stuff includes things like right now the show is live streaming. If you want to watch the inside of the studio, if you want to see us interviewing guests or watch what's happening, then yeah, go to rightsideradio.org, click on the tab that says, which one is this one? It says live and podcast, I believe. When you do, bam, there we are. But all our podcasts are on there. And it keeps advancing. I mean, people are downloading by the hundreds per day, so I checked this morning, and I think we're just about to hit 67,000 downloads of the podcast, which is just way cool. But yeah, if you miss part of the show, if you have a friend that needs to hear part of the show, if you want to grab that Ted Nugent interview from yesterday and send it to somebody, just go on there, grab it, clip it, listen to it, send it to somebody. Do what you will. Post it on social media. Just tell them it came from us. But Right Side Radio podcast like crazy. Every show is up there where you can get to it. And then there's, you know, like I write a weekly op-ed that gets published in several periodicals. It's on there every week. And then other stuff, like, for instance, the Right Side Store. The Right Side Store, yes. If you want stickers, you want t-shirts, you want coffee mugs like the one that I'm actually drinking out of right here in the studio and holding up to the camera so I can, you know, provide proof of life right there. There it is. All of it's on the Right Side Store, to include Right Side Socks, because I think Right Side Socks are the best and everybody needs some. All right, here's the deal. First thing on the Triple Dipper today, power vacuum. Now, first of all, filling a vacuum. I'm going to make myself sound a lot smarter than I am by quoting Aristotle. Aristotle said, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum, meaning that a vacuum cannot continue to exist. When something exits the space, then by natural design, the space will then be refilled. And then if you look at it, for instance, George Will, the longtime conservative commentator, George Will, said political nature abhors a vacuum, which is often what exists for a year or two in a party after it loses a presidential election, meaning power vacuums also occur. Not just from elections, by the way. Sometimes they're from the fall of a government or from a government not taking proper control or, for that matter, and by the way, I'm not huge on big government. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about government having tentacles that go into every aspect of your life. No. But there are certain things that are expectations of government, like maintaining civil order, like providing essential services like, you know, garbage pickup and good roads. Stuff like that has to happen. All that to say, political parties, they can also be an issue when it comes to power vacuums. Political expectations can be the creation of a power vacuum. And then on top of that, what happens when there's just literally an absence of control or good policy? It's going to get filled. Something is going to happen. So we're going to cover down on that stuff. And starting with a story that broke on 1819 News this morning that I didn't know was coming that actually quotes me. So, yeah, there's that. Myself and Congressman Mike Rogers talking about the power vacuum in Afghanistan. Do you have a caller just now? What just happened, bud? Oh, what happened? Oh, hang on a second. What is this?
It was another gentleman that just called in and just wanted to say, you know, man is the head of the household, and we should have the last word. You're right, sweetie.
That's the last word? You're right, sweetie? Well, just so he knows, that is my wife's grandmother name. So all the grandkids call her sweetie. So I don't know if he knew that, but he just made it very close to home. So what you're saying is I should look at her and go, you're right, sweetie, because that's what they call her anyway. Oh, my gosh. All right, the husband-wife jokes are going to keep coming, I guarantee you. And apparently these people don't want to come on the air. They don't want to come on the air and say it because somebody might know their voice. All right, Brian from Huntsville, I'm outing you because you were one of them. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in for good measure, and every bit of it solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, filling the vacuum, number one on the Triple Dipper. I just want to spend some time on this because I think it's important to recognize what happens when there's, you know, bad policy or sudden shifts in leadership, or for that matter, there's just an absence altogether of leadership and governance. And I go back to my statement I made earlier. I'm not a big government fan, so don't anybody mistake me for calling on more government. No, that's not what I'm doing, all right? That's not what I'm doing at all. But I acknowledge that there is a place for government. I do. There's a place for it. It is a necessary thing, and when it's there, we are to make sure that we know how best to interact with our government. Jesus even said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. He acknowledged the government and, you know, he acknowledged the burden of taxation, but he acknowledged it. That being said, I'm not calling for the expansion of a role, but what I'm saying is there are roles. There are rightful roles of government, one of which is to provide good policy, to provide good law enforcement, to provide sound economic decision-making, to provide essential services such as, you know, assisting with the implementation of roads and garbage collection and just the general things that make government work and make a community better. So that being said, when those kind of things go away, when there's a dearth, if you will, of good judgment or a dearth of leadership, or for that matter, ain't none at all, what happens? Well, story came out this morning on 1819 News. I didn't know this was going to happen. So Brandon Mosley is one of the reporters over at 1819. He actually texted me or emailed me the other night. I was sitting on the couch just chilling, kind of waiting for the evening to end, and I see an email come in. I looked at it. It was Brandon, and he didn't even say, and I should, you know, he's a friend, and 1819 is an affiliated organization. We work a lot together. But 1819 News, he didn't say, by the way, hey, Phil, I'm putting together a story, nothing like that. I thought it was just a friend asking a question. He goes, hey, Phil, what do you think about the situation in Afghanistan with the fact they found Zawahiri I'm an al-Zawahiri living in Afghanistan. Well, I responded. And apparently he was writing an article. So the article comes out, and the headline of the article is 1819 News, dated yesterday, last night, I guess, former Army Ranger State Senator, that's me, I guess, and the current congressman, that's Mike Rogers, both concerned about al-Qaeda presence in Afghanistan. So he starts off by pointing out that, you know, Joe Biden addressed the nation on Tuesday to announce that Ayman al-Zawahiri, one of the masterminds of September 11th, on the attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, the near attack that could have gone to the Capitol, but it was taken down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, that Zawahiri was taken out by two Hellfire missiles fired by a CIA Predator drone. Where were they? In Kabul, Afghanistan. So he asked me my question, that question I told you about, and my response was this. I said, I do have very genuine concerns about it. I said, we spent 20 years there allegedly working to deny al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations a safe haven, and now with the power vacuum left by Biden's reckless withdrawal, we see the head of al-Qaeda living openly in a nice house with his family in the capital city of Afghanistan, currently ruled by the Taliban once again. It's a mess. That was my comment. Well, apparently Congressman Mike Rogers had similar comments to make. So Congressman Rogers, who represents Alabama District 3, which kind of runs the eastern border, most of the eastern border of Alabama, and he's got like Lee County, Auburn, that area, Anniston, Calhoun County, you know, I think Claiborne County, parts of Cherokee County. He's got that whole side of the state. Congressman Rogers is also, by the way, one of the ranking leaders of the House Armed Services Committee. And it says he applauded the outcome, but also expressed grave concerns about how the most wanted terrorist in the world was living comfortably in what is apparently one of the most exclusive neighborhoods in the capital city of Afghanistan, living there with his wife, daughter, and grandchildren. Wow. It says Rogers blamed the rush, like I said, power vacuum. It says Rogers blamed the rushed withdrawal of coalition forces from Afghanistan last summer for al-Qaeda leaders' comfortable return to prominence in the nation from which the 9/11 attacks were planned. This is what happens when you have a power vacuum. Because keep in mind, we went to Afghanistan, rightfully so in my opinion, went to Afghanistan to strike back at those who had killed so many and destroyed so much property on our own soil. And we went there to make sure that there was going to be no safe haven left for this terrorist organization and for those who supported them, the Taliban. And what happened? I mean, for whatever you believe about the growth and the kind of the mission creep of the war, 20 years there, I do believe the war had to end. I do believe it was time. It was probably past time. But how you end a conflict is just as important as how you conduct the conflict. And to just go, you know, jerk everybody out, what did it do? It left a power vacuum. And Rogers, Congressman Rogers, I need to get Congressman Rogers. Remind me of this, Boomer. We got to get Congressman Rogers on the show. I'm overdue to have. It's been a while. I think I had him on last year. But he's right next door. I mean, he's in Anniston. I think he lives in Anniston. President Biden conducted a rushed and ultimately catastrophic withdrawal from Afghanistan against the advice of his top military advisors, Rogers said in a statement to 1819 News. The fact that Ayman al-Zawahiri, one of the masterminds of 9/11, was living in Kabul is proof that President Biden lied to the American people last year when he falsely claimed that al-Qaeda was gone in Afghanistan. And he did. Remember that? Al-Qaeda is gone. We're dealing with ISIS-K. ISIS-K. That's what he kept saying. It's ISIS-K. ISIS-K. Well, Mr. President, you said that, but then you apparently authorized a strike allegedly to go ahead and take out the man who you said wouldn't be there anymore. In fact, my quote that came from my monologue, I guess Brandon Mosley went and listened to my monologue, I literally said, he was exactly where you told us he would not be, Mr. President. Well, that's what happens when you have a power vacuum. When you have a vacuum of control, when you have a vacuum of good policy, when you have a vacuum of leadership, something's going to fill it. Remember my comment at the beginning? Aristotle, famous quote from Aristotle, nature abhors a vacuum. And even George Will said political nature abhors a vacuum. When you have an absence of power, when you have a complete, why did he not see this coming? I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. This is not hard to figure out. You know, Mr. President, you are the one who presided as vice president with the botched withdrawal from Iraq, where you pulled everybody out overnight. And what did we get because of that? We got ISIS and the caliphate that resulted in us having to go back and put troops back in the country again because of the botched manner in which you pulled out. And you didn't learn a thing from it, and you went straight into it again with Afghanistan. Hey, we did it last time. Let's just pull them out of there. Let's just pull them out of there. Okay, I get it. Pull them out of there. Phase withdrawal, maybe. How about we get all the Americans out first? Maybe. How about we collect up all the equipment, other things that we're not going to sign over to the Afghan army? Maybe. That'd be a great idea. Cool, right? No. Let's just get out of here. Everybody run for the planes. And that's what they did. And it was chaos. And what did it do? It emboldened the Taliban. Well, this was not to be unexpected. And by the way, I'm not just going to focus on Afghanistan. I'm going to head down the line of some other opportunities here. But a story last year that was contemporaneous to the botched withdrawal, it occurred in August 2021 by NPR. NPR? Phil, you went to NPR? Yes, I did. NPR. Headline, Pakistan warns a power vacuum in Afghanistan would be catastrophic. We had allies, regardless of whether they're perfect allies or not, we had allies telling us, this is not going to go well. And we did it anyway. So the host in this particular interview, which is transcribed in this article I've got from August of last year from NPR, says, it's hard to talk about the evolving situation in Afghanistan without mentioning Pakistan. Pakistan's neighbor has long been associated with the Taliban, which as of August 15th of last year, more or less controls Afghanistan after two decades of war against the U.S. That's painful. All right, so the question became, Prime Minister Imran Khan has said there needs to be peace in Afghanistan and that there should be an inclusive government there to help get that peace and that, you know, a power vacuum would be catastrophic. That's NPR reciting what the Prime Minister of Pakistan was saying openly. And it went on to say, it's important to remember the last time the Taliban ran Afghanistan that Pakistan was just one of three countries that even recognized their government. And they were. So, in other words, I don't have to like the fact they recognize their government, but what I can say is they know the Taliban. They know them. They know them better than most. And they were saying last year, openly, and I'm sure in communiques through department channels as well, that if we were to botch that withdrawal and leave a power vacuum, that it could wind up being what the president or prime minister of Pakistan said was a potential for catastrophe. It would be catastrophic. And they point out that there were any number of factions already at play. And what happened? We got exactly what they said. All right, I tell you what, when we come back from this, I'm going to keep marching through this idea of power vacuums, how they happen. But what I'm doing here, folks, I'm setting the stage. All right, so go with me on this. I'm going to talk about power vacuums in the geopolitical sense. All right, I'm talking about what happens when things like Afghanistan occur, or for that matter, when good ideas are not allowed to occur, and you wind up with power vacuum. Aristotle said it, nature abhors a vacuum. Something will fill the space. In this case, Taliban filled the space, and Al-Qaeda felt emboldened to bring Ayman al-Zawahiri back there to live with his family openly. That's how bad the power vacuum is. But there's other places like that, but what I'm getting to is this. Where I'm going to wind up getting to with this topic, and what you're going to want to stay tuned for, is what happened in our 2020 elections. Did we incur a power vacuum here in the United States? Look at our southern border. Look at our economy. Look at our energy sector. Look at our foreign policy. And I think the answer is going to wind up being yes, but I'm going to give you key examples to talk about. Boomer, tell you what, bud, let's go ahead and go to a break right now. We'll do that break. It is 2:46 p.m. We're already moving through this show like with lightning speed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, talking about power vacuums. You're going to want to hear more about this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. I am in number one of the Triple Dipper. And, that's one thing about when I don't have a bunch of scheduled guests, which I love guests. We had some great guests on here of late. I mean, you know, we have some of our regular guests and callers, politicians, folks that are running for office. Yesterday, the big coup for the month is that yesterday we had Ted Nugent on the show. The Motor City Madman was everything that we anticipated that he would be. Was he not, Boomer? Wow.
Yes, he was. It was great.
It was a good time. But we aired that yesterday for the first time. Oh, by the way, if you want to catch that again, if you want to hear it, or if you want to send it to a friend, it's on our podcast. Just go to the podcast at rightsideradio.org or any one of the podcasting sources you might use, like iTunes or Apple. Apple, iTunes, Google, Podbean, any of them. We're on there. Just find Right Side Radio and look for Yesterday's Date, Ted Nugent. It's on there. You may want to check it out. And there's also, video, by the way, is up on YouTube. So we have a YouTube channel. That's how we're live streaming right now. The video of the interview with Ted Nugent is up there on Right Side Radio. You can subscribe to that, and that way you'll always be able to get to it. So, yeah, check it out. Ted Nugent interview. That was a total aside. Didn't mean to chase that rabbit, but I just did. Just ain't nothing for a man to chase a rabbit around the Right Side studio. You know what I'm saying? All right. Boomer's just laughing at me. All right. So here's the deal. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I love the fact, and I started to say it a moment ago, I love it when I have more time to sort of unpack a theme, to get a piece of the Triple Dipper and just kind of weigh in on it and chew on it for a while, just kind of ruminate, just kind of chew that cud. Well, I'm doing what I'm doing right now on filling the vacuum. The underlying theme of this is Aristotle's quote that nature abhors a vacuum. In other words, when something exits a space, something else will naturally fill the space. It's the natural order of things. You cannot have a vacuum remain in place. The vacuum will be filled. Well, when the space gets empty politically, it still gets filled. When the space gets empty with regard to leadership or governmental policy, it still gets filled. And it doesn't always get filled well when that happens if you don't have some orderly means of bringing the vacuum back to a close. Well, I just told you the stories briefly about Afghanistan. You know, keep in mind, the Biden administration is now, Biden may be a neophyte in terms of being an executive leader. He's never led anything in his life, but he did spend 8 years as a vice president sitting in the White House Situation Room watching things happen. So he's supposed to know stuff, right? He's at least knows stuff, you think. He presided as vice president in an administration that resulted in ISIS by a botched withdrawal from Iraq. People forget that. I mean, just one day we're there, the next day we're like yanking everybody out. Woohoo! Get on the plane! And that's just, everybody's going home, and the troops love going home. I get that. But when you just do it that way, you're literally leaving a vacuum, and that's what happened. ISIS filled it. Afghanistan, same way. We just discovered that Ayman al-Zawahiri, hanging out in Afghanistan, just hanging out in Kabul, sitting on the balcony, literally. That's where he was taken out. Sitting on the balcony of a beautiful home in one of the best neighborhoods in Kabul, living there with his wife and children and grandchildren. How idyllic for the man who killed thousands and thousands and thousands. Well, it happens in other places. So Islamic State, remember them, ISIS? The Islamic State in Iraq, they are now, of course, being aided, allegedly by Reuters, aided by a power vacuum going on right now in Iraq and Syria. ISIS, remember that under the Trump administration, we whooped them. We put them back in their place. We had to send troops over there to get it squared away. We had to conduct operations that we hadn't planned on having to conduct because of the power vacuum that was filled by ISIS when the Biden-Obama administration pulled out. But nonetheless, ISIS was defeated. However, what's happening now is political instability now in Iraq and Syria is creating the kind of, well, this article calls it, the kind of confusion that Islamic State once thrived on. The tensions that are happening right now, as we defeated ISIS, we're looking at, All right, there's no true management of the situation going on. Article here from Reuters, dated February of this year. Year and a half at that point, roughly. Oh, no, a year, actually, into the Biden administration. It says, Yusuf Ibrahim no longer travels by night along the roads around his hometown of Jalawa in eastern Iraq, northeastern Iraq. He fears getting caught up in attacks by Islamic State. Nearly 3 years after the group lost its final enclave, Islamic State fighters are reemerging as a deadly threat, aided by the lack of central control in many areas, according to a dozen security officials, local leaders, and residents in northern Iraq. In late January of this year, Islamic State carried out one of its deadliest attacks against the Iraqi army for years, killing 11 soldiers near Jalawa. The same day, its militants stormed a prison in Syria under the control of U.S.-backed Kurdish militia, trying to free inmates loyal to the group. It was the biggest attack by Islamic State since the collapse of its declared caliphate back in 2019 under the Trump administration. And now, Iran-backed militias are attacking U.S. forces. Turkish forces are bombing Kurdish separatists. A territorial dispute rumbles on between Baghdad and Iraq's autonomous Kurdish region. And these tensions are creating a power vacuum of control, which is what ISIS thrives on. It's what terrorists always thrive on. Why do you think the Al-Qaeda was set up in Afghanistan back in the day to begin with? Because it was the Wild West, man. That's why. Because there was no one there to say no. Osama bin Laden showed up with his millions. And the Taliban said, hey, come on in. You want to go kill who? We'll give you a place. And so they did. Well, that's one example. I got more. We're going to keep unpacking this, because what I'm doing right now is I'm marching my way towards describing to you how the 2020 elections in the United States, and I'll say this, aided in part by Never Trump Republicans, resulted in the power vacuum that gave us some of the indicators we're seeing in our society right now that we're not enjoying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Plenty more. We'll be right back.